reading is taken from Acts 17, verses 26-28.
Let me hold this for you. I'll hold this for you. You read.
Okay. Right. En te reo Māori. Ko tahi anō te toto I hangaia e ia ki ngā iwi katoa o ngā tāngata. Hei noho ki te mata katoa o te whenua. Nāna hoki I whakatakoto o tātou wā. I whakaritea I mua me ngā kaha o te ro. O tō rātou nohoanga. Kia rapu ai rātou I te atua me kore e whāwhā e kite I aia. Ahakoa rā kāhuri ia e matāra atu I a tātou katoa. Nāna hoki tātou I ora ai, I korikori ai, I noho ai, I pērā hoki te kōrero e etahi o koutou kaitito. Ko tātou hoki, tōna uri. Ai.
Kia ora. Amen. Thank you, Henny Fire. Really, really appreciate. So Henny has read this morning. If you'd like to put up the slide for us, please. And if I can have Denise and Mike and Warwick and Gail, come and join me on the couch, please. Because this morning, we are continuing our journey of hearing from God. Kia ora, brother. Have a seat, anywhere you like. So you find there's a microphone for each person. Who's this little fella?
This is Hayden, Natalie's little boy.
Hi, Hayden. How are you? So this morning we're doing things a little differently. What we're doing is we're seeking to understand hearing God. So in our series, if you're visiting, that's got a nice squeak, hasn't it? And it works so good when we tested it before. We are in a series of seeking to hear God. And one of the ways that I believe we can do that is recognizing that our culture is also a gift from God. As a young boy, when I was in the church, I must confess there was a sense that if it wasn't Western European, it was perhaps demonic. That's the teaching that I effectively received, that it somehow, if I didn't read the scripture, if I didn't experience God through a Western mindset, that somehow there was something wrong with it. Suspect at best. And I want to confess that is so not true. That's not what scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that God has given us our culture. I love this one here. This is what Hene has just read. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. And this morning we are so privileged that in our church we have tangata whenua of this land. And today we want to recognize that God has entrusted this land to you, and we want to hear what you know of God, how you have encountered God. And so I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every person present this morning. Every person, no matter where they come from, no matter where the land is that they are connected to, We recognize, Lord Jesus, that you are everywhere. This morning we want to acknowledge that you placed the Māori people here in New Zealand, appointed this time. And we want to thank you for the rich culture that they have. And this morning we hope to learn something of you, that because of the glasses we wear, we fail to miss. We fail to see you. But because of the glasses they've given them, they see a dimension of you that perhaps we have not. And so, Lord, this morning, by your Spirit, breathe on our conversations so that we may know you better. Amen. So welcome. Can I ask each of you, would you be kind enough to introduce yourself and perhaps tell us where you come from? Hi.
Is this on?
Sure is.
On. Hi everyone, been around for a little while. Most of you will know that my name's Gail Hoskin, but in actual fact, if I was on a marae, I would introduce myself as Gail Rotahi Te Piri Southorn Irving Hoskin. That is from Ngāmahanga Atairi, which is down in Taranaki, about Puniholpa, which is about 30 minutes south of New Plymouth, if you've ever been to that wild west New Plymouth town.
Kia ora, everyone. Tēnā koutou katoa, ki te taha o tōku pāpā, ko hukarangi te maunga, ko waipu te awa, ko Ngāti Parau te iwi, ko te whānau ataki moana te hapu, ko Arihia Raua, ko Hami Ora, Goldsmith Oku Tipuna, ko John Goldsmith Raua, ko Murray Clark Oku Mātua, ko Dave Tins Toku Rangatira Hoa, ko Denise Aho. Same thing again, like Gail said, some of you will be familiar with who I am. I'm Denise Timms, married to Dave Timms. We have four kids and live in Ringwood Park, involved with Urban Neighbours of Hope and a part of your congregation here too. Oh, and just to explain, so my whakapapa, or where I connect to, I've actually connect a whole lot of places if we're on a marae, like Gail said, or in a Māori setting, but my dad is from the East Coast over in Gisborne, but we also connect to Levin and Ōtaki area, and on my mum's side I connect way up north, to Ngāpuhi, to Taranaki and to Rotorua, so all around.
Kia ora everyone, my name is Mike Godney. I'm from the Hokianga Harbour, I'm Ngāpuhi. My father is a Samoan, so I'm half Samoan, and my father carries a French name. So it's a bit of mixed blood there, but my mum, she's from Opononi, and our marae is Hokianga, Kakahuia. And I've been brought up on the marae as very, very young. My father was killed when I was two. So my grandfather picked us up, took us back to Opononi, and we lived on a marae since I was so young, and lived this style of community, all together. And speaking Māori, my grandfather did not want us to speak Māori. He said to speak English. But I couldn't help it because the old komata was there. I run around and sit in the fireplaces where they sit and they tell us old stories in Māori. And then I started to speak in Māori. I started to understand. And then my grandfather heard us speaking Māori. He said to my mum, take them off the marae. I don't want them speaking Māori, because at that time he thought the best for us was to learn English, because we live in an English world, and I couldn't understand that from the beginning, but now I do understand his reasoning. But now I just recently come back to my roots, back to speaking Māori. But it's hard, because I struggle in reading as well. So for me to learn, it's visual for me. But Yeah, I mean, that's where I come from. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Privilege for us to share like this. My full name is Warwick Mahi Anthony Ormsby. It's second name Mahi. It means a mast. That's what Mum and Dad wanted to use my name. I'm from Tauranga, the Ngāti Ranganui tribe. The sub-tribe that I'm from is Piri Rākau. And then off, I think there's about 10 of those sub-tribes. Hapus is we refer them to. And then there's about a dozen marais from those sub-tribes. And Pōtutarangi is my mother's, and Tutanaina is my mother. My father's. So, growing up in that community, I have vivid memories of that as a young boy. Sometimes every week we were around the marae, and generally, you know, it's tangis, which isn't. But there were the lighter-hearted gatherings too of significant birthdays and events like that. So I have really vivid memories of that. And like Mike, I lost my dad too when I was very young, similar age, and then had the misfortune. My first stepfather died when I was 8. And I only say that not to highlight anything as such, because I know even in the short time that I've been here, I have, you know, getting to know people here, tragedies happen in our lives, don't they? But I only mention that because I have really vivid memories of the support on the marae. And, you know, people would just come home around to our place and bring things, and there was great support there. Very, very vivid memories of the Catholic Church that we used to attend. And memories you never forget. So that's sort of a broad brush where I come from.
Thank you, Warwick. Thank you for each of you. I know within Māori culture, in fact, I actually brought a kite this morning, and I want to reveal what's in there. It's empty. So when I say I know, what I'm expressing is I have very little. I come with a bag this morning that's effectively empty, and I'm seeking to learn. And so there's going to be lots of questions. I've got lots of questions. And you guys, you're so graceful that you've said, yeah, let's do this together, which is just astounding, eh? That as our reference group, you've not sought to set yourself apart, but you've said, actually, we want a journey together with the church. And the way you've expressed that, we're so blessed by that. Why have you just done what you've done? Māori people, they don't just say, oh, hi, I'm Denise. They do this whole background story. Why is that, Denise?
Well, I think for me it's about connections. So if from a Māori worldview, if we look at a Māori worldview, there's always that interconnectedness with people, with their land and with their place. So when you introduce yourself, you're identifying yourself and connecting yourself to those places and to the people who you've come from. So it also brings that whole part of whakawhanangatanga, that sense of, like, people try to connect with you as well when you share your story and share where you're from. It allows people to also think, oh, actually, I know, or I connect with that person as well. Unlike a Pākehā worldview, where it's more about, I find normally it's about, what do you do, where do you work, those sort of things. A Māori worldview is a bit different than that.
Thank you. I'm reading the questions here, which you guys have kindly spoken into, and I really appreciate that. Let's perhaps start with a difficult one. In your experience, Mike, how has the church responded to Māori culture?
This church?
Whatever you want to speak to. You can do church general, and you can talk this church. We're here. We're family. We're having a kororo. We're having a conversation, aren't we?
Yeah. My experience of church, and where I first saw church was on our marae. They come once a month. I think it was the Church of England used to come. These guys in white cloaks, and they said their prayers and stuff like that. And I grew up with that. until we moved to Auckland, and then we went to the church, the Apostolic Church in Otara. And that was different there, Pentecostal. And I never seen people jumping up and down, full with the Holy Spirit. And that, I grew up like that. And going to youth groups and stuff like that, it really was another, it was like another community, like joining, and they cared about you, about the whole family. And that's, I think that's what I liked, was being in a group where people cared about you and knew you, and they could help, and we could help them.
Great.
You know? And that's how I saw where church is for me.
Gail.
So to be perfectly honest here, so I've been here, of course, for over 30 years. So most of what I'm about to say is about here at Manurewa Baptist. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think that for many years here at Manurewa Baptist, there's been a bit of a struggle between cultures, particularly to do with Māori. So I don't say that in a negative way. I just say it as a point of fact. And I say that partly because when I was at Kerry, I did some interviewing of people that I knew well here, people that I respect, that I love, that I still do. So I'm not saying this from a negative base at all. But I was really astounded at the perceptions of the people that I interviewed in regards to things Māori. I think that came a lot from what was happening in New Zealand. So there were perceptions out there in New Zealand in terms of things Māori that if you don't know, you don't know. True? And I think that was the case here too at Manurewa Baptist. But I have to say that I've been absolutely delighted of late with what I believe has been a change here. But I also think that we here as Māori, and anyone else there that's Māori, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to share what we know, partly like we are right now, but also more than this, so that people know. Because you guys know us well. Mike's been here for a while. You've heard quite a bit from Warwick since he's been here, and a lot of you know Denise. So you know us well. We're not strangers. But it's up to us to educate everyone else, and in a loving way, as Jesus would have us do that.
So, could we seek to do that now? Could I ask you, as a Māori, with which God has created you as, let's just get that really straight, God created you to be Māori, you are Māori, how has that helped you, or made it difficult for you, to encounter God, to know God, strengths and weaknesses that you've found from your own journey of being Māori? Anybody?
I'll speak quick first then. I suppose for me, to be honest, when I became a Christian at 20, even saying that is a bit difficult to explain, but that is when actually God challenged me to go on a journey of what does it mean to be Māori. So I suppose from what I learnt from the church is that it was very dualistic. It placed God separate from life, in a sense. And so it was, yeah, even to say I became a Christian is a little bit of a difficult thing in itself. Because when I was brought up, I know some of us here have been brought up in a way where spirituality is interconnected into life. So when you grow up, it's not separate. God is interwoven into everything that we do and how we live and be. So for me, as I grew up, I saw that. I saw God on the marae. I saw God in life. I saw God through the environment. I saw God in everything, because in our culture, that was part of what you did. You prayed, you did karakia. Everything was involved in that, so that spirituality was part of it. So when I realized that there was actually a commitment to Jesus there, and I made that commitment at 20, I walked inside the church and I said, well, what? I asked a couple of Māori women, what do you do with your faith and your culture? They said, we don't know. And to be honest, I've been on almost a 30-year journey of that question. What does it mean to be Māori and to be Christian? And like the kite, some of my teaching from the church was, and the same thing with Gail, we are not here to put down the church. We are part of the church. We are all on a journey of this together, and I hope we discover this journey together. But I've struggled. And so for me, part of the journey for me as a Christian, when I was first a Christian, was that in the kite, everything that was Māori was evil. And so for me, understanding what it meant to be Māori as a Christian was an incredible struggle. And I felt, and I remember talking to God saying, surely God, you know, you haven't created me as being Māori and being Pākehā and being Irish, actually a whole lot of the cultures, but that Māori side of me, surely that's not all evil. Surely that's not all evil. I came to Christ through my culture. It was me questioning, why do we do karakia before we put things, you know, we put things on a wall, or we go through places, or we start the beginning of the day, we finish the beginning of the day. Why is there karakia in our culture? Why do we point to you? Those things drew me definitely to God. So how can that all be evil? Yeah.
Well, I'll just add to that. So I grew up attending a Catholic church as a small boy. And 80% of that service was in Te Reo, in Māori. Mum spoke fluent Māori. It wasn't so much a priority for her to teach us Māori, but rather she wanted us to be educated. Because she left school at a very young age, she had to help at home. We had a large family, large Catholic family. And so being one of the oldest, she was withdrawn from school at a very young age. So her thrust with us was education. But took us, along to church every Sunday, never missed a beat. And in that atmosphere of the marae and the church, there was no doubt about it in my mind that there was a spiritual world from a very young age. Definitely, I grasped that. I remember at a very young age. But then at the age of 19, similar age to yourself, Denise, I came to know Christ. And because I couldn't connect the dots with some of the spiritual content that goes on Marae and Māori life. Most of it was an overlap there, but there were some things there that, shall we say, uncomfortable about. And I came to know Christ, and his word was sufficient for me. And so similar to Denise, I backed away from my Māori culture for many years. I still attended things, but I, as it were, internally had them at arm's length. But in that process, I found also, too, that not all is bad in Māori culture. In fact, there's a lot of overlap there with what the word says. You see, the word is my datum now, and it has been for a number of years. And if there's anything that doesn't measure up to what this word says, well, then I will discount it. And but I find that there's a lot of things there too in common. For example, our oldest son just got married recently, and in my speech as a dad, it was just automatic for me to make reference to our family line. Henare, Meremahi, Napoleon, Amelia, Tony and Rita, Warwick, Debbie, Hayden, Jamie, and also to my wife, her family line. That was just a given. I would do that. So how does the church respond to all this? Well, I didn't help, because when I became a Christian, I sort of, stood back from my marae and didn't really bring the gospel there as such, as somebody who's a Christian. And but as the years have rolled by, I have engaged more there. And I guess by just going back to them, and they know my story. Some of my relatives on there, that they shook my head at me because of the decision I had made. I don't know whether your response there. But in a number of churches that I've attended, there has been a good a real endeavour. I know one particular church, the Assemblies of God in Tauranga, there was a real endeavour there for them to include the Maori culture in their church. And that was that was really well done too. I don't know whether I've answered the question, Linda, have I? But the church in that really responded well, and there's been others too. Latterly in Auckland, not so much. We've been here for a number of years, not so much. But I mean, I don't take it to heart or anything. It's just, as with other cultures too, perhaps they don't include it as much either.
Anybody else?
I wasn't brought up in a Māori world myself either. When I was in my 30s, I went on an investigation because there was something that I didn't know about myself, and I was a Christian. I knew, I had that relationship with God, but there was still something else that was missing because I knew absolutely nothing about my heritage in terms of Māori. I knew about my English heritage, nothing about my Māori heritage, and that's about the way New Zealand was back in the days when I was young. But when I started looking into, I've had some. All I can say is that they were spiritual experiences in this process. For example, when I was first taken by one of our kuia to our marae, because I actually come from Te Arawa as well, and I was taken to the marae, and she said, I need to take you to your marae. And when I got there, and unless you've experienced something like this, you won't understand what I'm talking about, but I'm going to try and explain it. I remember standing outside that marae and just crying, and in my heart I was saying, I've come home. I've come home. And remember, I wasn't brought up as Māori. So all I can describe that as is a spiritual experience. So then when I started looking into things, this reminds me of something that we had to read when I was at Kerry College, and it was about a tribe called the Ngāti Rima. I don't know if anyone's read about the Ngāti Rima. This tribe in North America, they had strange things like shrines. Every morning, everyone would go before their shrine. Sometimes they were there for half an hour. If Hayden joins in, great. And they had this strange ritual where they put horsehair into their mouths. And every week they had they would give gifts to the gods, and the gods would they would just disappear. And I remember reading the story. There's a lot more to it. In actual fact, I have a copy of it here. There's a lot more to it. And I remember when we were reading that, there was a group of us, and we just thought, this is very odd, this culture. And then we were told that actually Ngāti Rima is American. Back to front. The horsehair in your mouth is your toothbrush. The shrine is what we sit in front of the mirror as we get ready in the morning, and we sometimes spend half an hour there. The gifts to the gods is our rubbish. And what they were trying to say was, when we don't come from a culture, are you just watching for me? When we don't come from a culture, we are often very critical of that culture because we don't understand it. And so we make judgments about that culture, just like we did before we realised that we were talking about America. And it's the same with Māori culture. And we can be very judgmental about the things that we do. And yet, if you look at the story of Hinemoa and Tutanikai, that talks to me of God. It isn't a story written about God, but it talks to me of God. Because when we, if you know the story, Tutanikai was able to communicate with Hinemoa through his flute. He didn't have to be there. He could communicate with her no matter where she was. That's my God. He can communicate with me no matter where I am. Hinemoa, despite the fact that she didn't have the strength, put gourds on her arms to, because she just knew she had to go to Tutankhamun. It didn't matter that her family said, we don't want this. It didn't matter that no one else agreed with her. She just knew. She just knew in the deep the depth of her gut she had to follow what she could hear, what Tutankhamun was saying to her. So she went on a dangerous mission across the waters to get to Tutankhamun. That's our journey with God. Well, sometimes we can't explain why we need to do the things we do, but sometimes we just know that God is speaking to us. There's no logic to it. We just know, just like Nehemiah did. And so when you start looking at some of those things, you can see just how it can be a story about our relationship with God. And I think that is incredibly exciting. I get so excited about it. So
So great. So what you're expressing is that within all of our cultures, we can find something that reflects our God, our journey with God. And so looking at it with the eyes of Christ, where are you, God, in this story? What can I learn about you in and through this? You're itching to say something.
I suppose I just wanted to speak on that too, was that, you know, looking at through the eyes of God, I think the thing that we need to realise is that we have looked at God through a Western lens in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So the theology that we've been taught is from a Western perspective.
Yeah.
That's fine, but we need to be aware of that.
Yeah.
My journey has been, what does it look like through an Indigenous lens? Mm. Now, neither lens is right or wrong. Mm. We want to find Christ's lens, but it gives a different perspective. Mm. So for me, I've been studying for a couple of years at Laidlaw, and thankfully, praise the Lord, they've decided to look at theology from a different perspective, mm-hmm. not a Western lens. Mm-hmm. And I found it incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about whānau, I see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's a whānau unit. You know, whakawhānaungatanga is throughout the Bible. Mm-hmm. Aspects of whakapapa from the time of creation right through to the end in Revelation is all there. Some of those Indigenous values and concepts are interwoven as we look at the Bible, but I've never been taught that. Mm. So I've been taught it from a Western lens, which is fantastic, but I want to see it from an Indigenous lens, because together they give us the wholeness of Christ. And that's where I feel like the church has missed some stuff here in New Zealand, and that's what we want to discover. So really keen and loving the journey of that too. And I think the reality is, I mean, bless you guys. I don't know whether you're getting bored stiff with hearing some of us talk on our own stuff. But I think we, as Māori, need to step up now. It's time for us to learn some stuff. We need to be leading. And we need you guys to support us. Because I don't know whether you've noticed, but we've lost a lot of who we are. Unfortunately, colonisation in New Zealand has done some of that stuff. Yeah. And so we need to be uffied into those places, so that we can learn and be part of that body that gives another piece to it.
Yeah. To that end, can I just seeing a young child roll down the stairs? I'm very aware that some of you parents will be sitting here, perhaps mindful that your kids are out there and might need to come in shortly. Can I just say, this morning, perhaps we're going to end our service differently. We're going to do it marae style. You can come and you can go. Okay? So we're just going to continue this conversation. If you've got something that's pressing and you need to attend to, please feel free to walk off this marae this morning, and feel free to return when you can. So I bless you in the name of Christ. We're going to continue talking, if that's all right. And at any time, if there's something on your heart that's just stirring and you want to...
Warwick. Denise just said there... you know, our cultures are incredibly, we may not be aware of it, but values that we hold in whatever culture you're in, or our culture in, I liken to the banks of a river. The banks of a river will determine where the energies of that river flow, and at the same time, the banks of the river will determine where the energies of that river do not flow. Whether we are cognizant of that or not, that's what our values do to us. And the values in our culture will lead us this way or that way. As I say, we're not maybe mindful of that. But in the Maori culture, our values that we esteem and we give great value to produce a certain life, a certain outlook, don't they? And I think this is what Denise was saying, is that with our values in our culture, we'll see something in a different light. It was really brought home to me when I lived in the Middle East for 2 years up there, and the Sultan Qaboos in Muscat in Oman, that's where I lived there. I worked there for 2 years. He very graciously gave a plot of land to the church. There were only two churches there, a Catholic church and a Protestant church. So it was very easy to decide where he wanted to go to church. He only had two choices. And on the Friday, that's when they used to have church. I sometimes used to go down in the evenings, and all these cultures, there'd be an Indian congregation, an Asian congregation, there was an Anglican, and they would all be going simultaneously. And then I'd go to one church, and the men would sit on one side, and the women on that side. Another church, and you'd take your shoes off before you went in. And I began to really see through a different lens, as what Denise was saying. They're worshipping the Lord through their own culture. It's a different lens to what perhaps we're used to in this contemporary society. When you only know one angle, we exclude all other angles. It's not going to diminish who God is.
Yeah, amen.
I can't remember the scripture where it says, you know, it says, let everything be done decently and in order. Where is that scripture? I can't remember. You know where the accent on that scripture is? It's not the decency and order. I mean, that's part of me. But the premise is, let everything.
Yeah, good.
Let the Maori culture worship him decently and order. Let the European culture, decency and order. Mm. And at the last meeting we had with Linda and Frank, we talked a little bit about what was it in reference to? But Lyndon brought up, he said, well, and it was actually an Acts where Paul, they would have a handkerchief, and the handkerchief would be taken and applied and to heal, you know, bring healing about to the person, people. Look, if you took that handkerchief and you framed it, and you, there's that handkerchief. Oh, what a great handkerchief. Oh, my goodness. That handkerchief brought healing to that person. You know, the danger is that we take items in our cultures and we make it an end in itself. We don't see who's behind that handkerchief or that carving or that tukutuku or that. Who is behind that? When we lose the watermark of those things, then we've lost it. And isn't it the same in church culture, I would argue?
Yeah.
When we make a thing, we make perhaps a liturgy, and that's the end in itself, but that liturgy, we forget the watermark that represents the Lord. Or, as I said to someone this morning, I've attended some churches in Europe, beautiful cathedrals, fine architecture and stained glass windows, and I've sat there and I've gone, if fine architecture and stained glass windows, bless God, long live fine architecture and stained glass windows. But if they don't, what's the use of it all? The words of Moses, he said, if God doesn't go with us, what's the point? If your presence doesn't go with us. And I think regardless of our culture, we need God's culture in our culture, his watermark. I'll finish there.
I've got a question on Matariki. It's Matariki today, tonight, last night. Lasts for a couple of days, doesn't it? Without seeking to colonize Matariki. That's not my intention. But when I think of Easter, you know, Easter's this European cultural vehicle that we celebrate what Christ has done. The reality is that it's drawn from within existing culture that celebrated new harvest, and there was sacrifice, and it was done to pagan gods. Matariki, what might it look like for us as a church? How could we take something without colonizing it, but again, looking for the watermark of Christ? Any ideas on that?
Okay, so for me, Matariki is not only about recognising time to plant, but it's also very much about thanksgiving, recognising that God had guided for a start, and that God provided, as Denise has already said, we had karakia for everything, because we were always recognising that what we had was not so much ours; it was actually gifted to us from God. Isn't that what we understand? And so that's what I see Matariki as. So we could have thanksgiving. We could have thanksgiving here during Matariki in a multitude of ways. And that's how I see that the church can celebrate Matariki.
I'm just sitting here going, wow.
Do you know, as you ask that question, I ask myself, what actually do I know of Matariki? And honestly, not much. And I think that's some of the reality of our knowledge that is missing and that hasn't been passed down. And I don't know whether, I mean, I think understanding our New Zealand history is absolutely imperative for us as Kiwis. The good and the bad. God says that we need to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But to be honest, sometimes finding the truth is not easy. It's actually pretty tough. And I know, as I've looked at some of the truth of our country, I don't like it. It's pretty horrible. But as we become aware of it and as we accept it, then we can move on. I know some of the Indigenous things that I've heard is that, you know, you walk back into the future. So when we look at our past, we can move forward, and we need to make amends with our past. And the same with the church. What is the history of our church? I know 200 years was celebrated, you know, the coming of the gospel in 2014, 25th of December 2014, Samuel Marsden comes to New Zealand up north. Did we hear of the chief that was part of all of that picture? Did we hear of Chief Ruatara, who came with Samuel Marsden? You know, I never did until I started reading some stuff. Are we giving the full truth when we share the gospel? And I think we need to, yeah, I think that's what interests me, is that, like, we've got to be conscious of what we're teaching as well, and what is our truth. So Matariki, some of our cultural practices. To be honest, I don't know all my cultural practices. I actually don't know. I've looked at stuff like Eel. Who is he? Who was he? Who is he? You know, all these. I'm struggling because a lot of our history and our knowledge has been lost. If you don't speak Te Reo Māori, then there's a whole lot of information and knowledge within there that you will never learn. And I'm not fluent in Te Reo. My grandparents were, but because of colonisation, because my grandmother would be strapped if she spoke her native language at school and forced to speak English, then that knowledge hasn't been passed down. So to be honest, there's some things I actually don't know. That's a bit sad.
Yeah, that goes with me too. I didn't know what Matariki meant, because my wife told me that, and it was what it meant. But my culture, I never grew up knowing all this, speaking Māori. As I get older, I never knew my own culture. I just lived in it, if you know what I mean. But in another, I didn't know that I was being Māori, being segregated, you know. I just saw myself as myself growing up in New Zealand, and I never saw it. I never saw anything else different. The only thing that I did see when I was growing up, I did see a bit of prejudice from both sides, but I did not understand what was going on. You know, like, I come across a European guy that said, you know, what are you darkies doing here? That's the first time I ever heard that. And same with the Maoris. He says, what are you Pakis doing here? And to me, if you got a grief with someone, you have, it has not to be on their culture. It has to be personal. Or to me, it has to. Because it doesn't matter who you are. To me, I've been taught to treat someone equal as me. And growing up, well, I grew most of my life up in Otara. But when I entered the church culture, like, it is like the apostolic, there was a lot of islanders. And I thought, okay, I started to fall into this category because I saw islanders, Maoris as Maoris and Pakis as Pakis. But I said, oh, gee, we must look after our own kind. Because I had that installed in me through my life, through other people outside of my family, telling me that we must stick up for our own kind. But that is so wrong. It's so wrong. But so I grew up just to kind of like trying to live in this world as just an ordinary person. As a Maori, I never saw it like that. But that's the lifestyle I grew up in. And now I'm just coming back to my culture now to learn to speak Maori and to learn all about it. All I heard was about Taramahuta and Honiheke and all that. I mean, that's my life. As a Maori and as growing up now, you know, as a Christian, and now it seems like God is speaking to me to move into this field, to know my culture, and as walking with Him, you know, it's just part of this life.
Kia ora, Mike. Could I suggest that our time today is just going to be an absolute scratching of the surface? But can I express on behalf of the church, which is you, I don't want to separate our Māori reference group outside the church. You are the church. We are the church. Can I say we want to commit to journey through this as you explore your culture? But can you hold us accountable? Can you continue to ask us, are you journeying through your culture? Because my culture's messed up. I mean, my culture's driving an economy right now which is just, it's a mess. I mean, the harm that we are doing to this land and to this people, to this world, the value systems that we operate out on, are not biblical. They're not. So, you know, please speak into my Europeanness, the parts that are broken, the parts that are good. Would you affirm them? And can I ask that we could do that for you also? Before we end, is there anything that, because again, I hope that you guys get to have this conversation, not just in a large meeting, but actually one-on-one with us as we journey together. But is there something here you'd like to impart to all of us, if you each like to have that opportunity?
Yes, one thing too. You say your culture's flawed, so are we. Mm. We are flawed because we are more flawed and sinful in ourselves than we dare believe, because we're human and we have that in common. But just needing, I was reading an article some time back. I think it was in Government House in Wellington, but it might have been on Marae. It was in the 1930s when the Labour Party was in government in New Zealand. The leader of the Labour government at that time was Michael Savage, mm-hmm. the Right Honourable Michael Savage. And there was a noted Maori leader by the name of Wairumu Potaki Wairi Mupotaki Ratna. And that his surname, of course, is the Ratna Church. And I only say this because at the moment we're dealing with Our God Speaks. And he presented to Michael Savage several items, if I recall. He presented with him several feathers of a huia bird, a ponamu, some greenstone, piece of greenstone, and the last item he presented him with was a broken old gold watch. Each one of these items represented a certain facet of the relationship between the Maori people and the government of the day. I can't remember about the feathers and the ponamu, but the broken gold watch represented the hollow and empty words that the Reverend Ratna thought that the Labour government had spoken to them at that time. And I've often thought about that, the broken gold watch representing hollow and empty words. And I thought to myself, is that the unique domain of just politicians? No, it's not. Somewhere in the life of the Reverend Ratna, he would have spoken empty and hollow words too. I speak hollow and empty words, you speak hollow and empty words. But there's one whose words are full. And in this whole process of cultures and so forth, what we're seeking to do, I think, Lyndon, is we're seeking to have an inner ear that is more discerning to the words that hold real gravity, really, that are never empty and they're never hollow. And if the Maori culture can put a slant on that, that helps and coaxes us to hear more clearly. As in Job says that God now speaks this way, now that way. Do we always hear him? No. But if I can draw from your culture and you can draw from ours, that we might have a fuller dimension of his, a more clearer way. So God's not a broken watch. He's an unerring timekeeper, isn't he?
Kia ora, Warwick. Is anybody else that would like to speak?
I just want to say thank you, actually. Thank you, Lyndon. Thank you, the church. Like, this is amazing to even be able to sit here and speak on this topic. Like, I don't know any other churches that are really doing this. I'm really encouraged because last year at the National Baptist Hui, they had Judge David Ambler speak. He's a member of the Baptist Church in Whangarei, and he has resided in Treaty of Waitangi claims and stuff like that. But he did an amazing talk. It's really worth you looking at if we're wanting to look at how does the church respond to these issues. They also had Sharon, I think, as her name's Tautarewa, but she spoke. She's an Australian woman in Tauranga, married to a Maori guy. And just that cultural difference, she shared it brilliantly, how her culture stood out to her a lot more when she compared it with Maori. And I think sometimes it's a bit, Dave, my husband Dave, who's Pākehā, he said, it's a bit like a fish in water. Sometimes we don't see our culture because it just becomes the norm. And I think in the church it's just become the norm. But church actually isn't neutral. It isn't. And I think for me the challenge is I need to learn more. If you want to go on a journey of learning what it means to be Pākehā, I think people need to learn what it means to be Pākehā. I think I know that side pretty well. I need to learn my Māori tanga side. And I think if we want to see people come to Christ, I think this is a journey to go on. I talked to someone yesterday who was working in the prisons, and he said 78% of Māori and Pacific people are in the prisons. That's not right. There's something in our country that's not right. And if we're people of faith, we need to have some answers to that. There's injustice that needs to change. We're supposed to be the light. I think we should be forerunners. Unfortunately, I think the secular world actually is showing us up in the area of what it means to be Māori or how do we engage with Māori. I think there's some amazing stuff that the secular world's got that we can learn from. I think sometimes we become arrogant as a church, think we have all the answers. We should do, because God's in the midst of it, but God's in the midst of the secular world as well. But yeah, just thank you so much for sitting, and thank you so much for listening. I was actually crying most of the service, actually, before I came up here, because it's incredibly special. I don't know whether you realise, but the fact that we can be here recognises something. The fact that those words are up on the wall speak to me. They tell me that there's something special about our culture that's recognised. Those words are from God. God gives us language. So thank you so much for listening. Feel free to ask. I had to talk to my husband about trying to make sure that I spoke in a way that was sensitive, because sometimes actually I'm not that sensitive, and I get quite angry about what's been going on in our world in New Zealand. Not to attack you, but just the anger of injustice infuriates me that stops us from coming to God. So thank you for being present today.
We started today on the panel with expressing to you where we came from and who we were. If you were on a Marae, then because I did it in a European way, and I didn't tell you everything that I would if I was on a yes, thank you, Lyndon. If I was on a oh no, he wasn't coming to watch him. Thank you. So if I was on a Marae, I would have said that in Te Reo Māori, and I would have told you a whole lot more about myself, because that's important. It's really important, you know, who my parents were, my grandparents, and much further back. Really, really important. But equally, if not more so important, is my history with Christ. If it weren't for the fact that many, many, many years ago, Christ died on the cross for me and for you and for everyone else, then, and that's history, then there would be no point in us sitting here today. There would be no point in us coming to church every week and spending time reading the Bible. There'd be no point at all. And so what I'm trying to express is history is really, really important, and important in terms of our faith as well.
Kia ora. I'd love to end with scripture. Is that all right? You've just talked about where we come from. I'd love to share where we're going. This is the picture of us, the church, in years to come as we stand in the throne room of God. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice. And man, I wish I could speak Māori right now. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. We bless you in the name of Christ. Thank you for blessing us this morning. Thank you again for sitting and journeying together. What an amazing, amazing church. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're building your church. You take us as stones and you build us into a temple. Lord, thank you for every person here today, irrespective of color, language, land. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you knit us together. We long for the day of your return, when we will know how we are truly supposed to be, each in our individual way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Bless you all. Have a great week. You know who these people are. Please feel free to come and bless them and thank them.